The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. 6 months after Elizabeth had become pregnant, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a city in Galilee. The angel went to a virgin promised in marriage to a descendant of David named Joseph. The young woman's name was Mary. When the angel entered her home, he greeted her and said, "You are favored by the Lord. The Lord is with you." She was startled by what the angel said and tried to figure out what this greeting meant. The angel told her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will become pregnant, give birth to a son, and name him Jesus. He will be a great man and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. Your son will be king of Jacob's people forever, and his kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "How can this be?" The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come to you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy Child developing inside you will be called the Son of God. Elizabeth, your relative, is 6 months pregnant with a son in her old age. People said she couldn't have a child, but nothing is impossible for God." Mary answered, "I am the Lord's servant. Let everything you've said happen to me." Then the angel left her.
Now look, one of the first things that the angel said to me, "Do not be afraid, Mary." Of course I was afraid. Don't let the artists fool you. Angels are a lot more intense in reality. And this angel, Gabriel, was telling me that I would have a baby? That was not my plan. I was excited. I was getting ready to marry my sweetheart, Joseph. I was not ready for a baby. And it was impossible. I was a virgin, which meant I could not possibly have a baby. None of this made sense at all. But the angel said my child would be a great man, a king on the throne of David, that God would bless this child and bless me as his mother. And he was right that my cousin Elizabeth was also having a baby, and she was really old. So God is capable of amazing things, after all. I'm not really sure that I wanted all of this, all the recognition and worship and holiness. But sometimes life gives you gifts and challenges, and we do our best with them, right? Having and raising Jesus was, let's be honest, hard. Being a parent is hard no matter what, but from the very beginning, things were hard with him. We had to go and be registered in Bethlehem. Riding a donkey while 9 months pregnant is very, very uncomfortable. We couldn't find anywhere to stay. I ended up giving birth in a barn. As he grew older, he would say and do strange things. He seemed wiser than his years. No, it was not easy, not in the least. But this beautiful child was mine. I couldn't stop staring at him. my own child. And yet, I knew what the angel said was right, that he would grow up to inspire and influence the world in the most powerful ways. But that night, that holy night, all I knew was that I loved him.
Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Whoa, that night was nuts. I mean, picture this. There I was with my buddies, and we're just keeping an eye on our sheep through the night. We're making sure nobody came and stole them or no wolves came for them. And then all of the sudden, out of nowhere, comes this angel. We've never seen anything like it before. I mean, things can get pretty creepy out there in the fields at night. It's pitch black, and the only lights that we have are the stars in the sky. So anything popping out at us is frightening. But this guy said he had come to tell us that the Messiah was going to be born that night. That's a huge deal. You see, we're from an oppressed people. We're Jews. We've lived on this land for a long time, but the Roman Empire has come in and taken control of everything, and they don't like us Jews very much. They are cruel and they treat us badly. The legends of our people have always given us hope that someday there would be a great man who would come and liberate us. That's what the prophets have always said. And we've called that man the Messiah. So, I mean, could this angel be right? was the great man who we had always heard about, the same baby who was being born in Bethlehem on that night. But why? Why would God send such a great man to us as a baby lying in a manger? Do you even know what a manger is? It is a feeding trough that animals eat from. Yeah, that's not exactly very sanitary. You would think someone who was destined to be such a great leader would be born in a palace, you know, surrounded by riches and wrapped in fine silks. And why on earth would God send his angel to us with such an important announcement? To me and my buddies, we're just shepherds. We spend our days and our nights out here in the fields, outside the city. People don't really think about us. We don't really count. Like literally, we don't count. I heard that the emperor recently declared that he was going to try to count all of his people in a census, but he didn't include us. We don't matter to him. But boy, when we found that baby that the angel was talking about, we could feel that we were witnessing the beginning of something special. Something exciting. And it really means a lot to us that this angel came to find us, to tell us about it. That it means so much that our God wanted us to be a part of this story. Us lowly shepherds. You know, for once, I felt like someone really saw us. I felt like I'm actually somebody, you know? I felt like I matter. And that gives me hope. Boy, if all this just comes with this baby's birth, I can't wait to see all that he does with his life.
A poem by the Reverend Rebecca Parker entitled, "You Have to Know Your Body as the Home of God." You have to know your body as the home of God, and this is the purpose of Christmas. The rose blossoming in the wilderness is the unfolding of your pleasure, as the fingers peel an orange and sweetness buds in the mouth. The bright star in the night sky is the sudden clarity of your instinct for joy. The birth cry in the night is your child falling into the dark and your arms holding her. The terror of Herod's murderous intent is your rage that would prefer death to change. The singing angel is your voice at church, not sure of the tune, but certain for a moment that there is glory. The animals breathing their warm breath in the fragile stable are your emotions, kneeling into the body of earth at ease in the presence of God. Mary is you, God in your body. Joseph is you, sheltering God in the world. This is the key to the mystery. The Word became flesh. We are the dwelling place. The third story. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 2, verses 13 through 14 and 19 through 21. When the wise men had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt. Later, after Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in another dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are no longer in power." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel.
When Mary and I started dating, I knew we would be wonderful together, and I had it all planned out. We would get married and settle down in the little village with our friends and our family. I'm a great carpenter, so I knew I could make us a beautiful home, and I'd have things to trade for food and other things we might need. It would be a good place to raise our children, and we would settle down into a nice, peaceful life together. But I guess God had other plans for us. Our early life together was anything but peaceful. Our first child was born earlier than I expected, and in a barn, no less. It turns out he was a really big deal, and God sent these shepherds and these angels and even these three wise men with these crazy, expensive gifts to visit our baby. And at first I was really freaked out by it all because it wasn't what I had planned. But I really loved Mary, and I trusted her, and she convinced me to trust God as much as she did. We both realized that our beautiful baby was part of something much bigger than the peaceful life I had expected. But then God sent me an angel in a dream. The angel told me King Herod was trying to find and kill our son Jesus, and I didn't doubt it for a second. The angel said we should flee to Egypt, so we packed up everything we could as quickly as possible and left immediately. However, after a few days into our long walk there, I became concerned that we were fleeing to a foreign country where we might not be treated as well as we should be. Would the Egyptians let us in just because we said we were in danger back home? I mean, it's not like I could prove it or anything. I couldn't conjure up my dream and show it to them, right? Well, ultimately, I trusted God's promise that we would be safe and taken care of in Egypt. And wouldn't you know it? They let us in, and I found work as a carpenter, so we had food and the things we needed. God and the angels watched over us. Then after a few years, another angel returned to tell me that King Herod had died. Boy, was I glad to take my family back home. By now, I had complete trust in God and the angel messengers he sent to me. Even though life was not anything like I had planned, it would be an honor to raise such a remarkable son.
This poem is entitled "The Work of Christmas," and it was written by Howard Thurman. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and the princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins. to find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among others, to make music in the heart.